You forget the...
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. And today it's my great pleasure to introduce Michelle Moravati. Those who have had a chance to look at the website on Cosmic Love, the profile page on BBS Radio, will see Michelle's website and some introduction to her, what she does. And I'd like to introduce Michelle now. Michelle, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Hi.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Looking forward to hear your story of your own experience with healing yourself to begin with, which is, I think, where all of us can always reboot that experience to someone else's. Who's gone through it and has quite a story to tell. So, Michelle, would you please share your story?
Okay. My story, my journey. Well, it started 8 years ago when I was pregnant with my second child, my daughter. And so 5 months pregnant, I was diagnosed with lupus, which is an autoimmune disease. And as I gave birth and slowly I started to have some significant symptoms such as headaches and dizziness and shortness of breath and chest pain and chronic fatigue.
Lupus is kind of deals with the connective tissue of the body, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
You kind of become unglued.
Yes, yes. So an inflammation in my hands and my legs and especially in my feet. And let's see, what else? I had like symptoms from head to toe. It's like I had so much that I have to think about
You were really becoming unglued.
Yeah, yeah, and I had arthritis pain like throughout my whole body.
Wow.
Then I had weakness in my hands and my legs, and shortly I started to lose my memory, cognitive impairment. And so the doctors put me on several medications, and actually every 2 months I would go in for 1,000 milligrams of cortisone IV.
Oh, cortisone, wow.
Cortisone, 1,000 milligrams, which is the highest. And believe me, after taking 1,000 milligrams, I'd be up about 30 hours nonstop at times.
Really?
Yeah, shaking and just, you know, it just keeps you going. You know, drugs.
Yeah.
Anyways, but... not getting any results, I was guided to go to a healer, and there started my journey of healing of my mind, with my mind, body, and soul. And within these healing sessions, I learned the causes, the root causes of my disease. And believe me, when I was sick, I prayed day and night for something, someone, some tool. You know, I would pray to the universe, to God, to Source. Any learning that I have to get, I'm willing to get it. I'm willing to do anything. So, Chris, my prayer was, I will do anything. Not my way, right? Not what I want to be healed. This is very, very important, really, in the process of healing. I'll do anything to be healed.
So you had some real serious, fervent prayer going.
Yes, yes. You know, I was a housewife and a mother of one already. Then I had my child, mother of two. I was halfway paralyzed, basically. I was diagnosed as halfway paralyzed. So I really didn't want to live in the darkness any longer, seeing that, for example, a babysitter is taking care of my children. I couldn't take my children to school, take them to the park, take care of my newborn. You know, it was really, really, I really lived in the darkness.
Well, I can relate to that because they were going to amputate my leg once after an operation, gangrene they thought was setting in, and I prayed fervently that I would do anything, and here I am. I ended up doing Cosmic Love.
Wow. Beautiful. So what happened is that I learned first and foremost about the power of self-love.
That was the keynote?
Yes. Self-love and forgiveness.
And forgiveness of self?
Yes. Forgiveness of myself, forgiveness of others, and asking for forgiveness.
Really?
And, yes, and learning to love myself. I had no idea what that meant, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
You know, self-love, what is that? Isn't that being selfish? What is that all about? I never learned it. Society didn't certainly teach me.
Yeah.
My parents had no clue. You know, I had no idea what self-love was. whereas all along the line I was abusing myself by negative internal self-talk, the image, the perception that I had about myself, and all the negative, unwanted, disempowering beliefs that I had about myself. You know, that's not self-love. You know, I was living a life opposite of self-love. And so, you know, I really learned the power of thoughts and that my thoughts create. I learned to love myself. I learned to respect myself. I learned to watch the way I perceive myself. I learned to detach. I learned to take responsibility every moment. Yes.
So at the heart of it was a spiritual awakening to self-love, God-love, and then it translated to a mental understanding of the process.
Yes, yes. And so while in the healing process, actually, I had an awakening, an inner awakening, with two tunnels of light while I was wide awake sitting.
Really?
Yes. I saw two tunnels, one from the right side, one from the left side, and, you know, and then I started to hear a voice in my inner ear. And the voice started talking to me, telling me that I'm being healed, that my cells are being renewed and rejuvenated, that I'm going to have a spiritual path, and I'm going to and this voice is going to tell me, is going to guide me. And it was just a really inner awakening, a rebirth.
What was the other tunnel telling you?
No, it was just, I don't know how to explain it, because it's like, you know, I saw a tunnel, but was it a tunnel? I don't know. You know, it's a human perception. But I saw two tunnels. It wasn't really the tunnel. It was the inner voice. There was a voice in my inner ear, which I never heard it so clearly in my life.
That small voice within came through.
Yes, and it came through, and it called it, I'm the God within you. And I had no idea what that meant. Up to that point, I was a housewife, you know. Doing what I'm doing, taking care of my kids and, you know, living and just wanting to be healed. And there I am. I'm hearing this voice and a real awakening and an opening to my true self, to the God within, took place.
Wow.
Yes. And so from then on, I've been guided. I learned to heal myself from the voice within, and I actually awakened to the angels, the masters, to the fact that everything, all creation has consciousness, and we're able to connect. It's all in the oneness. And so through forgiveness, through taking responsibility, through gratitude and appreciation, through acceptance, through letting go, through praying, hope, faith, all of that, I was fully healed.
You mean you went through a complete regeneration of your body?
Exactly, transformation, regeneration.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
Were you doing anything much different with your diet?
Well, no. You know, to be honest, when I was sick, I tried that. I tried to go off meat and chicken and all that, actually, but I felt really much, much weaker by doing that. It didn't help me.
Yeah.
It didn't help me. So, but now my diet is different.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm off of sugar and, you know, limiting yeast and white flour and all of that, and I feel better now. But at that time, no, this was the process that I went through to be healed. Mind, body, soul connection. God,
you know,
the universe.
I believe there is a universal process. I mean, there's a process that's common that I've heard stories similar to this when people have this experience, there's the regeneration in all kinds of ways, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. I refer to it the four lower bodies. There seems to be, you know, from the top down, the experience, and I had a similar experience that I understand is cosmic consciousness in my life. Dramatically changed, but I know that fundamentalists. I've talked to some of them that have had this, so to speak, born again experience, and they start acting different, if not changing their whole diet. I mean, it's common. Of course, there's differences, but what I'm fascinated with is what you've done with it, and I know you've had a lot of experience, you know, sharing in seminars and workshops. The process. Could you tell us a little more about the process that you've been involved with?
Yes, declaring love to the universe, love to God, love to Source. It's a real opening, a real gateway of the connection of the oneness to our true self and who we are. That was a really huge, huge healing for me to awaken to the love within and to the connection and the oneness with all that is. For me, love is just everything, and love simply is. And love is just exactly what it is. One, love connects one to another. Love connects one to oneself in the present moment. Love brings one into the present moment with all that is. Love brings clarity. And truly, I want to, and I'm dedicated and committed to living a life of love, which is everything. Because, you know, even when I'm not feeling good, if I have pain in somewhere in my body, when I ask myself, you know, what thought created that? You know, because I believe that everything starts from a thought. And as I go into deeper and deeper into the thought, as I clear the layers of the thought, right below it, the root of it is love. I come right back into love. And
so,
that's where I experience the peace and the joy, yes.
So it sounds like you've kind of rebooted your entire operating system.
That's a beautiful way of putting it.
And I love to hear how it's changed your life. And in your languaging, I know there, as soon as you get into spiritual realms, the terms and the languaging of love, I mean, it's definitely a many splendiferous thing, but it's kind of a non-linear thing. It's almost like the language of love. It's almost otherworldly. This world doesn't have the greatest honor and respect for it in contemporary dialogue. But I really appreciate your sharing, you know, your languaging of it and,
yes,
and the process you went through. How do you work with groups with this? I mean, the key concepts I would assume are on your CDs that I've put up in reference with a link on the Cosmic Love website. Those CDs, are they kind of in a sequence with the love and forgiveness, or the concept of forgiveness as kind of a key? And do you,
yeah,
kind of mix the different concepts in those CDs that you have, or?
Yes, well, for me, love and forgiveness go hand in hand, because how can one love when we're holding on to anger and resentment and frustration and agitation and sorrow and jealousy? How's that possible? That totally, these emotions block the flow of love. And the love, sir, that I'm talking about, really, Chris, is not the conditional love. I'm talking about total unconditional
love.
Total
unconditional love.
And unconditional comes from one being fulfilled and satisfied within. No attachments. No attachments whatsoever. You know, you said that, or I desire this, or I want you to do that, or why didn't I get that, or I expect it. These are all attachments. This is not unconditional love. Not to say that I'm a master of it by any means, because I'm a human and I'm learning.
I think as long as we're in physical embodiment, there's going to be certain space-time conditions on our perceptual style. But one of my favorite concepts regarding love as an action, or the Holy Spirit as love in action, is that love is forgiving, not forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, forgiving as for giving love, and all-embracing whole love is, in a sense, unconditional, because it embraces all conditions. And this idea of not forgetting, you know, it's like more blessed to give than receive, or but it's also not, you know, forgetting is like it's not forgetting to love.
Yes.
So it's kind of a play on words, but I guess I have to play with the concept to remind myself what it's all about, because it is, I think, an abstract for the world we live in, the concept of, you know, in the material plane or in the physical plane, there's this creative tension between, you know, getting and giving, and, you know, coming to this process of healing. My experience has been that fervent prayer is not, you know, the prayer of the fire of desire is not seldom the prelude of the revelation. That there's without the pure intent for love, it just doesn't happen.
Absolutely. Pure heart.
Pure heart. Pure intent. There's a lot of expressions for that. The fervent prayer, the fire of desire, fire in the belly, whatever. And, of course, fire and the fire, air, water, and earth archetypes, it's like the spiritual, mental, emotional, physical archetypes. And my understanding, of course, I get into the dimensions of the one love, the one all-encompassing, the wholeness, and the law of the one, the two-in-one, you know, polarity versus duality, the three-in-one, the trinity versus the dialectic, and the four-in-one, which is like the fourfold city, four square, you know, New Jerusalem, the white cube. There's all these archetypes for referencing the dimensions of it, but really, it's always got to, from the way I understand it, reference the one, the wholeness, the holy whole, I call it.
Yeah.
which is the unconditional, unimanifest, the law of the circle in the geometry of divinity references the all-connected, all that is. And you can get into the dimensionality of it. And sometimes I think the more that you do that with your left brain, you move out of the right brain spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to hear someone that's really gone into this and made this process into a meditation. Now, I understand you have a meditation with this that you're providing free to people that are listening to the show today.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I understand you have a recorded meditation extracts from your upcoming book. That's on the link on the website.
Yes, there is a meditation on the website. Yes, an audio. Yes, and all the meditations that I do, it's kind of letting go and letting God, letting go and letting the source.
Uh huh.
So it's all being channeled. Basically, my work is channeled. Now,
I
that's
see.
One way of saying it.
One way of saying it, right.
Yeah, my seminars, I just go in, I let go and let God, let go and I let inspiration, not my own memories or data or my own desires of what I want to happen.
So it's kind of like getting yourself out of the way.
Exactly. So the my personal sessions, the meditation classes, the seminars, the book that I wrote, the daily insights that I write every day is I get out of the way and I let inspiration, I let the source, I let the light, whatever you want to call it.
I think that's the hardest thing for a lot of people that are caught up in the rat race, so to speak, is that in order to control their lives and time and space as they go through it each day, they get a routine going and it's their ego or everyone has this frame of reference for the way things are. The most difficult thing in the world is to be not attached to those worldly things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call it ego as that attachment, but to let go of that, I love the idea of having a meditation which is a verbal languaging that provides basically an affirmation to let go and let God.
Yes, yes. Let go and let God. Let go and let inspiration. You know, because what gets in our way, Chris, is our memories, right? It's our data.
Our memory, right.
Yes, that's why forgiveness is such an important tool to healing. Because how can we allow inspiration to flow through us when we're holding on to another person or a place or a thing? It just doesn't happen.
So basically, we're letting go of the habit of what we've done to ourselves. When I say that, the habit. We are what we believe, we become what we believe. We are what we think, we become what we thought. We are what we feel, we become what we felt. We are what we do, we become what we did. And if you do what you've always done, you get what you've always got.
Exactly.
If ego's trying to be in control, what I call the love of power, then the power of love is eclipsed.
Yes.
So how to let go of that memory, of that habit,
yes,
and get oneself out of the way so basically that free spirit of, what would you call it, your authentic self?
Yes.
Authentic
self. Authentic self.
That the authentic self speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Take time out during the day and spend time, right?
Right.
Yes. Be one with oneself. Know oneself. Who am I? You know, where did I come from? What am I doing here? What's my purpose? What am I all about? How can I make a difference? What's stopping me? What's blocking me?
You know, I once lived and worked with a guy who never went to school. And he was actually raised by a shaman on Indian reservation. It's quite a story of how that happened, because his mother was disabled, and grandfather, he called him, the time he was 3 years old, taught him to go to source directly,
mm-hmm.
a process. And that process served him all his life with, you know, a connection that, because his mind wasn't filled with formal education, sometimes I say that formal education is indirectly proportional to common sense. Which is a problem for me, because my PhD is piled higher than deeper than my BS, than my master's, which was more of the same.
Yes.
My MS, and it gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
But this individual has the most extraordinary genius of getting himself out of the way with this process, and I'd love to hear different frames of reference on the affirmation of just being free through a meditation, that guided meditation or the verbal languaging that you use. It's music to my ears, and anyone I'm sure that's experienced the semblance of this knows in their heart of hearts that there's what I call a method to the madness. I mean, a way of transcending it. And meditation, everyone has their own process to that.
Yes.
But at the same time, I really believe there is a universal process. When I say universal, everyone's going to tie into that same universal process in different mm-hmm. ways. Of course, we all do. So when you're leading a group through this process, do you do kind of a guided meditation?
Yes, it starts with I get out of the way. I say to myself, you know, I let go. I let go and let you, God, you know. I let go and let inspiration. And, well, you know, I have also trained myself, Chris. You know, the voice happened overnight, but I train myself every day. Clean up, clean up, clean up inside. It's all the cleaning up that I've done inside that I'm able to do this right now.
Is that a way of processing?
Yes.
like processing your stuff.
Yes. Well, it's cleaning all the junk.
Yeah.
Well, all the junk that I have brought from previous lifetimes and my mother's womb and as I was a child, all the beliefs, all the junk, you know, clean up.
Is this what began in earnest when you had your original spiritual awakening? I mean, was this accelerated at that time, or did you just kind of flip channels, you might say, to a whole different way of seeing everything?
Yes, I flipped channels.
You did?
I flipped channels in such a way that I stopped watching TV.
Oh, yeah.
It just happened. I was like, I don't want to watch TV anymore. What happened here?
Oh, yeah, I raised my four children without TV.
Yeah, but I mean, I just like, it just like, yeah, exactly.
I believe that.
Well, the channel changed automatically.
It's interesting. Well, yeah, you definitely had a reboot experience.
Yes.
And I had the same thing. I left college in my third year of architectural engineering and hitchhiked out to the mystery school out in California, began studying the mysteries of God. And I mean, it was that kind of a reboot experience.
Yes.
Where everything, I mean, of course, I was started seeing auras and hearing what people were thinking before they said it and all kinds of things like that.
Wow, beautiful.
But yeah, I think a lot of people are awakening, and there's a quickening going on. I mean, I'm reading, there's just a lot of awakening going on, and some people are losing time, and there's all kinds of phenomena, but Your story regarding healing and how you began with this fervent prayer with a dis-ease in your body and were put at ease by a spirit that was blessed you free.
Yes.
And I really like this idea of processing one's stuff, whether you call it processing the habits or... Sometimes I think of it as corks that we push under the surface that we just don't deal with, you know,
mm-hmm.
because there's too much trauma or... And they bob up, you know, when we go into that space of openness, unconditional love, then all that's less than love comes up for transmutation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my sense of it.
Yeah.
Now that I know that when I'm in that space, and I hear someone going through a guided meditation, and I notice you've got one CD on your inner child and your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for myself, processing had a lot to do going back to my inner child, my inner family archetypes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the loving father principle. Loving boy child, loving girl child, loving, you know, mother, all those archetypes that I was exposed to and where it was unloving and what kind of, how I basically internalized that. And sometimes I say that parents, you know, you grow up in their electronic belt, their energies below their heart chakra, and you basically become, children become 3D projectors of the unconscious of their parents.
Yeah.
And that inner child, inner family, the imprints of the records in the electronic belt or the aura of the parents, the children pick those up and outpicture those.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes their habit. It just becomes their second nature. They're imprinted with that. But it's at a subconscious level because it's in our formative years and we're not really conscious of it. And processing at that level, it's one way of processing. There's, I guess, a lot of ways to go at it, but I know that when I really was grieving over, you know, whatever was bothering me with my behavior and my interactions with others, when I would, the more that I worked on that stuff, it cleared up a lot. So is there any process that you encourage for processing on the level of subconscious stuff
Yes. First of all, I encourage people to stop blaming other people, because I fully get that I'm responsible and we're all responsible for our own thoughts, actions, words, deeds, emotions. It just is. And actually taking responsibility is an empowering thing to do. It's not disempowering as we are, you know, conditioned to believe. So what I really encourage people to do is that become one with their subconscious minds. Become one. Acknowledge our subconscious minds. Our subconscious mind is that part of our mind that carries all the memories, all the data.
All the habits.
The beginning, yes. It's the healer of our body. It's our friend, not our enemy. And so we have detached, and our subconscious mind is really waiting for us to be one with it again, you know? It's all inside of us, Chris. Everything that we want, everything that we desire, all the love, all the clearing and cleaning, and everything is inside of us. So let us stop looking outside and start looking inside.
So when we have the inner sense of true innocence, we wouldn't in any regard do anything to others that we wouldn't do to ourselves, like blame them.
Yes.
And if we forgive ourselves, that's part of forgiving others.
Yes.
Or there's no disconnect there.
Yes. Once a person sits down and really contemplates and really meditates and really self-observes oneself's thoughts, actions, and behaviors, then a person will really realize how one is responsible. Until then, we can go on and on and on and blame, 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 blame. But this is the time that a person can really, really recognize their own mistakes, get the learning, and move on. I made a mistake. What's my learning? How can I improve? How can I change? How can I transform? I forgive myself. Okay, that person did wrong, and that person is actually me, because we're all mirrors.
In other words,
we're all carrying the same collective junk in our subconscious minds.
In other words, the response ability, the ability to respond, there's a choice when something happens. Well, I call it from a perspective of philosophic calm. It's always just the justice that just is. If it did happen, then the ability to respond, then there's a choice to look at someone else in terms of how, what they're motivated for their reasons, not my reasons, and they have free will, so they're 100% right for their prevailing awareness, even if they're out to lunch as far as cosmic law or cosmic love goes. But the responsibility then always ultimately comes back to the connection with the person that heals the relationship by forgiving oneself.
Yes. Yes. I forgive myself for being angry. I forgive myself for reacting.
For reacting.
Yes. I forgive myself for punishing myself, scrutinizing myself, criticizing myself, not respecting myself. I forgive myself, for I am worthy, I am deserving of love, of being love, of giving love, right? Of receiving love, of being one with love. I forgive myself.
And
it's a great affirmation. So if
there's total responsibility in those terms, then how can you see anyone other than an extension of yourself?
Yes.
So that brings me back to, I think, something that's going on in the collective conscience of humanity right now with the instant everywhere interactive connection with net reality, or, you know, the internet, that, you know, we're all one. It's like a global village family of man, and there's all this acting out going on.
Yes.
In the world, that when I, as a metaphysician, when I put my finger on the pulse of the collective consciousness and I monitor on the internet, you know, with my different news feeds that I've got, what's going on? I mean, to me, I have I feel a sense of responsibility somehow.
Yes.
To connect with an understanding of love that's whole enough and what I call bold enough and told enough that somehow greases the skids for a smooth transition. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I can't get enough of, quite honestly, the material that you work with. I realize that it's kind of almost like the fundamentals of loving kindness.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of third grade, 9 years old in its core principles. I mean, this is the stuff that we should have gotten primary, but. And I think everyone in their right mind, understands that, love, what goes around comes around, and that, and yet at the same time, the testing of souls in this world right now, I mean, there's always been testing, but it seems like things are accelerated. Maybe it's the compression of time. That's going on, but maybe it's just that when you are awake, you're more sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, I think there is a thing that goes on with the more that a person is awake, the more, in a sense, sensitive to they are to where love is lacking.
Yeah.
And of course. The answer to that, with full responsibility, is what I call more love, easier and faster.
Yes.
And how to encourage or otherwise empower the process. And I really honor your work with this. I guess you've been working with different dimensions of this. One of the things you're doing is an upcoming charity event called Cause to Create Oneness.
Yes.
What is the hand-to-hand mission of Agape?
Hand-to-hand ministry of Agape is a ministry that works with the homeless, specifically in Santa Monica, California.
Really?
Yes. So Agape, I believe, I'm not, don't quote me on this, I was told that they have 26 ministries.
Uh-huh.
And hand-to-hand is one of the ministries, and they specifically work with the homeless in Santa Monica, Los Angeles.
And you have an event coming up November 11th with different speakers, music and dance. Where will that be?
Yes. It's November 11th in Los Angeles at the Olympic Collection, and this actually came to me by divine inspiration again.
Wow.
A calling.
Yeah.
Which I resisted in the beginning because it was too big. I was like, tiny, tiny, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A little dot, and this thing was huge, bigger than me, bigger than life.
Yeah.
And so after much resistance, I started to accept it. And once I started to accept that this is a calling to make a difference for humanity, I was drawn to approach the hand-to-hand ministry of Agape. They accepted it, so we went forward with putting this event on to make a difference within the event, with the inspirational speakers, with networking, with oneness, with love, and all the proceeds from ticket sales go to the hand-to-hand so that they can raise the quality of life for the homeless.
I love that.
I have actually participated in a day of serving the homeless.
Uh-huh.
And it was just magnificent, Chris. Oneness, totally a transformation took place within me there. And as I went from fear to love.
And you're having, you have a website on that at www.causeoneness.com.
.org, yes.
Is it .org?
Yes, .org.
Uh-oh, I'll have to change it on the website.
I think .com works also.
Okay, good. Well, I can relate to what you're doing. In L.A. back in 79, I worked with a group of people. We put on a freedom rally in the L.A. Coliseum and the L.A. Convention Center.
Mm.
It was kind of at the the nadir of America when they were burning American flags in the streets of the Middle East. It was quite a story. Of course, I don't know if things are bad or worse than they were back then. But we had a freedom rally with music and dance and speakers in the L.A. Convention Center. And then we had another one a few weeks later at the L.A. Coliseum. And things turned around. I don't know if it had anything to do with our freedom rally, but I really honor what you're doing. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'd like to know, too, you give seminars and workshops. Do you have information, news on that on your website?
I don't have anything coming up because I've devoted so much of my time to this cause right now.
Uh-huh.
So when we do, we always have updates on our website. But this is a real transformational time as far as cause oneness goes. A growth period for me and the oneness and love really revealing itself through this process. As we connect people to people, you know, revelations take place, love reveals itself, and it's just beautiful. But no seminars or workshops are coming up right now.
Okay. Well, when I introduced you on the website, BBS Radio, I did that one link on the power of love.
Yes.
And it's kind of the theme that I try to emphasize, the understanding of the extraordinary power of love for healing, for wholeness, and how it's a paradigm, how it can be a paradigm shift from the prevailing ego domination paradigm, which I refer to as the love of power. And I know you recently went to a seminar on the power of love in other terms, and that you can't really talk about that, can you?
Oh, I can say what it is. It's the Ho'oponopono.
The Ho'oponopono process.
Yes, Ho'oponopono.
Well, that's what the article is about, and you did go to a seminar on it.
Yes.
It was interesting to me your comments of and your experience regarding some things that went on there, which kind of mirrors a lot of what you've been sharing with us, and to me that mirror of the same principle of clean up, what I refer to as clean up one's act, or I also refer to as processing one's stuff.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it really begins with, well, the ancients used to say it, you know, physician, heal thyself, or, you know, the process begins with, you know thyself, and know thyself as, really the concept was know thyself as God, love, know thyself as all that is, you know, what is real. And I don't think there is any other way to get into the spherical, I refer to this as the spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual, without somehow letting go of what everyone's habit in this world tends to be, a control matrix. Or, you know, we try to control our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs, and of course then they control us.
Yes.
We create our environment and our environmental frames of reference, and then they create us, or we shape them and they shape us. And getting our stuff out of the way, and everyone, I'm sure, has their own, that's on the path of evolutionary ascent with their soul matrix or their soul habit, or basically becoming soul free, or freeing their souls from what I refer to the BS as a belief system that is limiting. I'm convinced that there is a process that orients to that spherical, nonlinear, out of the box freeing of spirit, so that small voice within can become a little louder.
Yes.
And I'm always intrigued to hear someone that's been there and done that, someone, their spin on it, that I really do appreciate. And I've gone to look at your website, and I'm really pleased to be able to have you share what you're doing with your different CDs and your upcoming charity event. So please share, if you would, what's been your experience with groups and others as you've given workshops and seminars on this.
Well, my experience has been that we're all looking for love.
Yeah.
We're all looking for love. There was one seminar that actually I did at a friend's house where we had like 80 people there, and I was just inspired just to say, I love you, I love you, I love you, over and over, and have everybody just say, I love you, left and right to each other. Oh my God, you should have been there. The vibration, the laughter, the excitement, the passion, the joy out of these three words,
yeah.
I love you. Over and over, the vibration, I mean, everyone was just like illuminating with light from, and I got it. I really got it. And I said it. We're all looking for love, so what's the problem?
the problem is within us. What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Yeah, but you know what happens is that somewhere along the line we closed our heart, and so what's love anyways?
Oh, yeah.
When I've been abused, when I've been hurt, when I've been disrespected, when I've been this, when I've been that, this hasn't been done to me, I've been victimized. What's love, right?
Yeah.
And so love when brutal things and murders are taking place across the world, right? What's love? I just want to say, Chris, because I've done extensive work on myself and I'm continuing every single day, I mean, if not moment to moment, honestly. I want to say, what thought do I have inside of me that may cause something negative or chaos somewhere else in my neighbor's home? What thought do I have? If I ever have a thought of hate or resentment, I'm responsible for the collective consciousness. And this is one thing that I continuously am inspired by the divine to let the people know that we are responsible. How? By our thoughts. Even as we're watching TV and we're watching all the chaos happening, I'm sure, not to say that I know everything, but there is a thought, an emotion of hate that rises within a person.
Yeah.
Right?
Or anger or fear. And of course, fear is the opposite of love.
Exactly. And so how are we at cause? How are we at responsible? Why do we allow these thoughts and emotion rise? What is our learning? This is continuous. This is a process for me. Internally clean up all these layers and layers of disempowering, limiting beliefs and decisions about myself and others. This is the experience that I have over and over again in my meditation classes, in seminars, in workshops, everything that I do with my family, with my kids. It's all inside.
If we're going to where we're coming from, mm-hmm. why not be in heaven right now?
Exactly. And excuse me, what is our soul here to experience? Misery? Our soul is here to experience, right? Something,
right.
Misery and sorrow and despair, or can we allow our soul to experience magnificence? You know, beauty, joy,
well, here's,
love.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Now this is a belief of mine, and set me right if I'm wrong on this. But from what I understand, that all souls in embodiment are here because they chose to be here.
Yes.
Whether they stood before the Great Karmic Board and basically agreed to what their soul contract was for their mission this time around, for the lessons they need to learn, or whatever, that. If the soul is eternal, and this, you know, we're great spiritual beings having a human experience, then from my understanding of that is that with that experience this time around, we've all got different soul contracts. We're here to learn and experience different things. And maybe for some souls, that is to experience the courage of commitment on a battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And for another soul, it's to experience the non-attachment of a loved one that dies on a battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But what I'm saying is that... hello?
Yes.
I bought my headpiece here. So I try and keep in mind that we all come forth with different tests, initiations, and different soul contracts. And that with these soul contracts, there are universal laws. There are universal principles. You might say there is a total responsibility that each soul has to their vow. And I can't imagine that victim-dictum has any place, any place in regard to the victory virtues that every soul makes when they come into embodiment.
Yes.
See what I mean?
Yes.
The victory virtues are the laws that every soul is accountable to.
Yes.
And there's no question that I'm sure that all of us are tested. Our souls are tested with lack of love. I mean, the law of love is the universal compact or the divine directive, I think, of all souls under the prime directive. Or, when I say that the prime directive for the evolution of a soul obviously is to provide the opportunity and for other souls that each soul wants for themselves to learn and grow and to get the lessons and fulfill the contract, the soul contract that each soul has. So I keep coming back to there is a law of love that we're all ultimately accountable to. And I mean, I think it's the greatest love in the universe that gives souls the opportunity to learn and grow eternally. And, of course, I think part of the cynicism in this dense octave of incarnation is that a lot of us tend to fall into it just because it's so dense we can't remember that love is forgiving and not forgetting.
Yes.
We forget to remember.
Forget to remember.
And I don't know. I play with this concept, and I love to entertain guests who can share their perspective on this cosmic conundrum of, in this case, how to be in the world but not of the world, or basically free up from the dis-ease, stress, and disconnect from that oneness, that co-creative oneness with the source of all power in love, and I think that is the divine destiny of not just individuals but civilization, the divine destiny. I mean, it's like talking about a golden age in context of what's going on now. There's the testing of civilizations, like there's the testing of individual souls. And I would like to think that an understanding of cosmic, universal, natural law, love, can somehow reboot the health of individuals and civilization like you rebooted yours.
Absolutely.
Well, I'd like to think that. I mean, and of course, what it comes down to is, that this is a big test for everyone. And it's one thing to share, like we're doing on this program, something that is so precious and so fundamental and so, you know, I think universal to every child of God or, you know, anyone that is in that mode of inner sense or, you know, true innocence is the inner sense that I think this is common sense, but that inner sense, like common sense, is uncommon. when I say that, it's uncommon because the most difficult thing in the world is to remain non-attached to all the worldly things, thoughts, feelings, TV. And so I look forward to listening to your meditation.
Thank you.
And I look forward to keeping in touch with you.
Thank you.
Maybe we can have you on the show again sometime.
I was just going to say love through communication is the way. And you said I want to keep in touch with you.
Love through communication is the way.
Love through communication.
Well, I'm impressed in that connection of the power of love that on the website, that first link on the power of love, I'm impressed with how there is a communication when we think of someone and hold the immaculate concept for their wholeness, for their love, for their, you know, for their healing, how thoughts have wings, how there is a connection.
Yes.
And I think listening to someone like yourself, what you've gone through, and reading about the Ho'oponopono process, the power of love, for amazing healing of others, I'm convinced that same communication process can be outpictured in communication systems. And of course I write a lot about that with the idea of an interactive interface for the internet that would provide frames of reference spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically for interactions that involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness with cosmic love, universal cosmic love in frequency and in form. A frequency as an often, always spirit of love and action. And in form, geometrically ordered divinity, divine God love, you know, different ways to frame it universally, and all different languages, but the process is something that I hear you referencing with your CDs.
Yes.
And the languaging of that, I think part of getting past the resistance to it is the language, it is getting into the languaging. And where we put our attention is where our God is, and where our love is. And so putting attention into your CD sounds like a good place to begin with getting past the resistance to being free with more love.
Yes. No more victim, power. From victimhood to power.
Moving from victim to victory virtues.
Yes. The power of God I'm talking about.
Power
of ego.
Yeah, power of ego. I call it moving from the love of power to the power of love.
Power of love. Power of God.
Power of
the source.
Yeah.
Power of freedom.
Wow. Well,
being in the present.
I am sure grateful for you coming on today.
Thank you.
I'm grateful for this experience and for remembering what's important, that love is forgiving.
Yes.
And it begins with oneself.
Absolutely.
And by God's grace, I'll get this right before I finish this embodiment. I mean, I'd like to think I graduate this time around.
That's my will also. Yes. Let me get whatever I have to get to clear my soul from bondage and just love through communication. And one more thing, if I may.
Yeah.
Love through communication to help and heal the homeless. Love through communication to help and support the homeless. Wherever they are, who are we to judge? Love will heal them. Love will inspire them. Love will transform them. wherever they are in their life. I just have to get that in there.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, thanks again, Michelle, for coming
Thank
on
you.
Today.
It was a pleasure. Bless you.
God bless you. We look forward to talking to you again.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.